high school.
I didn't watch it.
What's on this side?
I need it.
Okay. I'm just gonna announce.
As long as I get it back.
I'm just gonna announce. It could be a resolution.
When I decided.
Good evening, everybody. Would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we're going to take attendance. Councilperson Sacco?
Here.
Councilperson Jones?
Here.
Councilperson Kolek?
Here.
Councilperson Fusco?
Here.
And Supervisor Greg Sacco is absent.
Thank you. The next on the agenda is a call for the last meeting minutes. Would somebody like to entertain a motion on the July 14th, 2025 minutes?
I'll make that motion.
And I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay. Tonight we have no new resolutions, no new business by resolution. So we'll go right into official reports. But before we do, I'd like everybody to know that Planning Board Chairman Patty Goldsmith will give an update on the Pass Stone project. It's exclusively in the Planning Board's hands until it comes to the Town Board. So if you have any questions after her report on late privilege, you could ask. But try to bear in mind from the point she talks forward, because everything up to date has been vetted pretty good. Just a thought. Okay, we'll go right into official reports. County Legislator Dave Buck.
Good evening.
Hello.
Well, I'll keep it short and sweet since it's a little warm out and inside. As you know, people have seen we've been out striping roads, fixing roads, making road repairs. That's been ongoing. So if there's something that anybody comes across that we may have missed, please reach out, let me know, so that our DPW crews can get it done before winter. We put out the speed monitoring devices out at Cosby Manor Road, but according to Mary, she wants it in her driveway, so we're going to work on getting it sent out again. This time we're going to probably spot it so anybody heading east will get zapped. She's asked for it in her driveway. I don't know if that's where we will end up. So, what's that?
Okay.
So what they do is they monitor the speeds, and then my understanding is they can pull the tracking out of it, and they can look at it and say, okay, we have a high rate of speed during these hours, and that's when we want to monitor it more, put out road patrols and things like that. Or they say, okay, well, it's a sporadic, it's between the hours of 9 and 5, so they want to put a concentration up there, or it might just be lunchtime, dinner time. So the police, our sheriff's department, actually goes through and looks into that.
It'd be nice to see them anyways.
Yeah. Two resident complaints. One was on mowing, but I know Sam got back out the other day and was mowing. It was on Kaiser Manor, so the boys took care of that, so that was great. Made that call back, and they were very happy to see the mower out, and I gave Sam all the credit for that. The other complaint was just speed over in Cosmic Manor, and we're trying to address that. I did explain to them that because our request was to lower the speed limit, I said that has to start with the town, and then it works its way up. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Buck. Supervisor's absent, Gregory. On the official reports, I'm next. The only thing I have is, after meeting with Sam, we might have to amend the highway budget next month for a little more money for his road improvements. But you just don't know this time of the year until the end of the year balance is there, whether we'll have to take money from the capital or we'll have enough left to cover the cost. But there might be a resolution next month on that. So that's all I have. Next is Councilperson Daphne Jones.
Nothing to report.
Okay. Then next is Councilperson Dave Kolick.
Just to follow up as far as the estimate for a camera system, we submitted two more baseline estimates to be filled out by two different vendors. One of them rejected because they got to be competitive, and the other one is still working on it, so we'll be looking for another vendor to submit to. And the other issue I had is one complaint on Roberts Road about the ditches not being mowed in the first cut. And Sam, I talked to you about that. You just want to explain as far as what's going on with that?
Yeah, we used to have two tractors out all the time. Now I've still got two tractors, but I only got one. One guy retired. We haven't filled that spot. And so I only got one tractor running at a time. And then he goes back and he tries to mow the opposite side of the ditch. So getting complaints, that's what's going on. We are mowing. It's just a little slower than normal.
Thanks. That's it.
Thank you, Dave. Next is Councilperson Daniel Fusco.
Well, I got a lot of calls on various things this month. One of them, and I guess it's been ongoing, is a nuisance report on Crooked Brook Road near the conjunction of Trenton Road. Someone has 18-wheeler trailers parked there that they're using for storage, and I got multiple calls on that. I went out to the site to look. One has a nameplate on it. I'm not sure if the other one's unplated, but I talked to Mr. Maxwell about it, and he makes clear that it's really an issue because it's in a public right-of-way for the Sheriff's Department to talk to these folks. I'm not sure if it's also an issue for the Highway Department, if it impedes your functions, if you have any jurisprudence there or what.
I mean, I have reached out to him in the wintertime. It does bother us to get there, and I got him to move it a couple winters in a row. He had one there this summer. Now there is two there.
Yeah.
I was going to stop and see the gentleman again. He's not a bad guy.
I'm sure.
But I will stop and see him again. If he doesn't move him, then I'll call Rob Mason.
Okay. Just reporting what's been reported to me. last month I talked about the ice and snow stops on the roof, on the steel roof. And Supervisor Sackwest, when you get some quotes for that, two are in. I'm trying to get two have been done, one's in. I'm trying to get a third. And as we were looking at the building, there's, you know how it is, once you get into something, you discover many other things. What I'd like to do is I have two little reports, maybe one for the supervisor, one for you. Karen, so you can make copies to whoever else wants them. But as you look around the building, there are some building maintenance things that we do want to address. One is the ice and snow stops. It's a must if we're going to put another condenser unit out there and the railings and protect the backside of the building. The point was brought up last month about we don't want to put holes through the roof. Well, you don't with this. You don't with ice breaks at all. This is a standing seam roof, and they mount like horizontal to the clamps of the standing seams, so there's no puncture of the roof whatsoever. And when done professionally, it is an A number one way to deal with this problem. And then you can also build the A-frame for a backup. So I'm going to get a quote for that. But as we go around the building, you notice how there's a lot of the upper panel of siding is coming off all around the building. My little knowledge on that is there's an edge molding up top that the top panel is supposed to clip into, but the panels that are coming down don't have a bend in them, so they're not snapping in place. So that many of them came down, they're all going to come down. So whoever does the roof work, we should get someone who could also do the siding work and put those back up. Along the bottom, there's siding damage from apparently weed whacking. I don't know if you noticed that. That's something that should be addressed. So on that report, I took pictures There are some of those ice breaks above the two doors on that addition that were done incorrectly. They're screwed through the roof, and I'm surprised they haven't broken off, but that's not an example of what we're talking about. When done properly, it's not that at all. Gutters are not a bad idea on the back side. You would be able to use that awning if you had gutters. You could use it in a light rain, you know, as long as it's not windy. And the back side of the building, that side where there's a hornet's nest or something like spray, it really should be power washed. So I think we are to the point where some building property maintenance is warranted. So when we look at doing the roof job, maybe it's time to look at doing some of these other things. Get a roofer who can, if we want to do gutters, do the ice breaks, power wash the siding. You'll see on my report, there's a lot of erosion and building damage all the way around from not having gutters. On that side, there's a valley where the ice evidently has come down and torn the, what do you call it, over the end cap, I don't know what it's called. It's torn it right off, and now it's exposed, so all kinds of things can get in there, including, you know, wasps, bees, ice, water. So we are to the point where we need to focus on some maintenance with the building. So I will have at least two, hopefully three estimate reports for fixing the roof situation and possibly gutters and the siding, so we can proceed with getting some AC in the building. My personal opinion, I think we should go ahead and get the condenser unit immediately, but not go any further before winter.
Well, I've held off on awarding the quote until we heard from you, so.
Okay,
we're
good.
Going to be hearing from you.
So once I get estimates, we'll make a quick
just
decision.
Would you please separate the estimates? Because we'll for sure fix the air conditioning thing. But the other things, could you get them separate? Because they might be optional. Yeah. I know years ago there was gutters that didn't work out. They got filled with leaves. The ice broke.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah.
If you could split it.
I'm planning on like three parts is the way it
looks. Yeah, that'd be great.
That's exactly how it will be done. And leaf, the building's beautiful because everything's set back away from the building. That's very well done. But leaves still blow, so leaf guards are definitely.
Yeah, if you could just split the quotes, we'll address it when you come back.
Yeah, we're looking at three. Okay, not to take up any more time on that. Marty Road, I got multiple calls on a boarded up house. People are a little nervous over there what's going to happen with certain properties, abandoned or whatever. But the boarded up house, and I forwarded this to Mr. Maxwell, the boarded up house was a house that the gentleman passed away, mm-hmm. but he had valuables in there. And he had multiple burglaries. Well, the neighbors called the police and arrests were made, and then someone came in and boarded up the house. So it's up to Mr. Maxwell to deem if there's any violation. To me, it doesn't look good because the house is boarded up and they will probably do something with it. But I just want to put that on record. Maybe we'll put Mr. Maxwell will put this on his watch list, but it's a property on Marty Road. It looks like the landowners with the given situation have done the best they can by securing the house and keeping homeless out and whatever else comes along. John Aceto, a resident, contacted me regarding the Wilderness Parks Trail, so I walked it with him, and I never walked the trails before. I confess, guilty as charged. It's beautiful. We should be very, very proud of this. But awesome job on the bridge. I mean, it's awesome. But we identified some hazards along the trail, and we're breaking it up. I've been working with Deb Burke, and she's going to give a report maybe tonight or one will be forthcoming on some recommendations of what we can do. We break it down into two parts. You know, one is more of a casual walk. The other is in the woods, a little bit more treacherous. So there's going to be a report given as to some things that can be done and work closely with the highway department to do that. Okay, so that's forthcoming. We all know about the property at 5639 Walker Road. It's the old advocacy center building. The lady has been very outspoken on that. She sent me a letter, which I forwarded to both Mr. Haskell and Mr. Maxwell. When I read the letter, she makes some good points, and one of them is that the nonprofit has gone through a dissolution process as far as public record shows, and it raises the question, my concern is, should this property still be off the tax roll, or does it need to be looked at and maybe go back on the tax roll? Because it's not, it appears to be used for personal reasons for the officers of the various nonprofits that own it. So anyway, that, I think the letter, and I have a copy, well, I gave a copy to Mr. Maxwell and Mr. Haskell to review. It's really their wheelhouse, but I would encourage the town board to take this a little bit serious and look at it. Okay, I know it's a real complicated issue, but we need to look at it. The lady is not wrong. She's not wrong. So that came to me. Comprehensive master plan. I understand a committee was established. How do we stand with that committee? Does any money know? Is that committee been staffed?
I don't know.
So we reached out to Jay Grasso to try and get a survey started before early in the spring, because there was a window to get grant money. Warren and I spoke with him on a Zoom call. He was going to send an estimate and a plan to the town, because of course any engineering or studies have to be done through a consultant. The town board would have to approve funding. He never, as far as I know, he never got back to the town. I've asked Gregory a couple times, and he has not received a reply.
Okay.
So at this point, I guess we're moving on to find somebody else to do the consulting work.
Okay. So thank you for that. But my question is, do we have an established committee? Because if you guys remember a few months ago, I recommended maybe we put together a committee that involves people with expertise in various areas, like maybe civil engineering, agriculture, people that would be helpful with the comprehensive master plan, people that really have background with this. And the reason I'm bringing it up today, because this could also, that same committee could be called upon to do other things too, if we have a committee staff and people who have expertise in variable areas, you know.
Laura and I came up with a list of committees that we'd like to establish. And then, of course, we have a very good resource in Jeff Quackenbush working at County Planning. So he would be, I think Jeff would check a lot of boxes with his expertise through County Planning. So yes, we haven't, because of the fact that we haven't got any consultant in to do the grant writing, we kind of held off on that to wait to see if we hear from Jay Grasso. At this point, I don't know what to say. I think we just move on because it has been a while.
Yeah.
But we did come up with a framework, and again, like I said, one of the top names on the list was Jeff Quackenbush.
My whole point is, once again, is once you have a solid committee, they can be called upon to do many things that would be very helpful, especially if they're experts in various fields. Like even with the parks committee can utilize them. Mm-hmm. And people love to, these are people that will volunteer, and you get more ownership of your town. I mean, it's their town, they get involved, they get more participation. So I would once again reiterate, I strongly encourage to staff that committee with people qualified in different areas, and maybe even bounce it off your candidates off the town board. I love how in the newsletter the supervisor mentioned the Dark Sky Initiative, which I brought up a couple months ago. That's a very excellent thing. It happens all over the country, and has been happening all over the country. It really enhances and raises the standard of the community. Once again, the Comprehensive Master Plan community could help with that. I'm running out of things here. This is good news, except, I guess it's a question for Karen and Councilperson Jones. On the website, it has the minutes, but then it says, like I gave a written report and said attached, but I didn't see it attached.
For the last month?
Yeah, I looked at June, yeah, because that was already published.
I'll have to
look at that.
But usually when Karen does that, it's at the end. You have to scroll through the whole document, and everything attached is pushed at the bottom.
Following.
So you have to scroll through all of it for all the attached. I'll double check it too.
Yeah, let me get from wrong. Now, there were audio links, which was really cool. but I wasn't able to open them on a couple different devices. And then I looked again, and the audio links are gone. Yeah, they were attached to the minutes. There's audio, the recordings that we do.
I'll double check that.
Yeah, they're on there.
There was no navigation, so unless it got deleted off the homepage, because I was deleting something else, but I can easily put it back on.
Yeah, they're right next to the minutes.
We're working on navigating it so that we're just discussing where it would be appropriate to put it for navigation.
Yeah, today the link was no longer there, but also, I'm not sure what media player opened it, because I tried a couple different devices, I couldn't open them. So it's just feedback.
I'll talk to Hudson, yeah, I don't know what they are using for that.
I'll get back to the website in a minute, but the Horatio Street project, I have been advocating for a comprehensive plan for both parcels, for the entire plan, because both of those parcels are under the same ownership. They're split between two LLCs. One is Horatio Arterial LLC, the other one is ARCN LLC, but they both are owned by the same person. Okay, the corporate address for both is the residential address of the woman who owns that property. Now, I think we need a comprehensive master plan. There was, you know, we have a change of federal administration, and there's a lot of changes coming down the line. And the affordable housing through the federal HUD program has taken a huge hit in funding, up to 43%. And that is stalling affordable housing projects all over the country. So the way the developers are approaching this is they're going to qualify. They're putting all the pieces in place to qualify for the $12.1 million grant, and they can use that money for site acquisition, meaning they could take that project money and through their LLCs pay themselves a good amount for the land. We don't want to be caught dry. We don't want to be bamboozled with that. If they're going to build, we want them to build according to what they're telling us we're going to build. We don't want them to take that money, sell it to themselves, and then us sit around for who knows how long because the HUD money has been withheld. We could be sitting around, have the pass stolen, but all that other thing that they're not talking in tandem with for whatever reason, that land can continue to sit vacant for decades, especially with the way the funding cuts are. It's something like currently 43%. And I'm seeing a lot of these as I travel. I see a lot of them being built and a lot of them stalling out, just framed. And I've seen that before where they sit framed and then they blow over. We don't want that in our town. So I would make the suggestion that we do look at that project as a comprehensive whole and require that they give us a comprehensive project. And if I was king of the world, I would say show us your guaranteed funding to see the project to the end. That's my recommendation on there. One other thing, and because I'm tired of answering this, and it's a delicate thing, but it was happening for whatever reason. On the homepage of the website, there's a letter about the Borelex project being canceled. It's been up there for months, and it graciously applauds everyone in the town, and it pains me to say this, but somebody's forgetting that I'm the one that brought it to the town. I'm the one that brought it to three counties. I'm the one that brought it to the state, to the federal level, and for some reason, I was left out. Whatever that was done for. But I think it's time to take that off. I'm tired of answering, Dan, how come your name's not mentioned? I'm tired of answering. Why don't we put something else up there like Laura Ramo came up with a beautiful senior poster. Put that up there. That letter actually is a little bit embarrassing. People see what's going on. So that's a little bit of feedback. I would recommend let's move on past that. Put up something like Laura's senior poster. That's all I have. That's my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Town Clerk Karen Day.
Okay. So I'm going to take up time this time. I'm sorry. okay. And while I was preparing the July minutes, I was reading them over to make sure that everything was in order. And I read the report from Councilperson Fusco, which was submitted after the board meeting. And I must say that I am deeply upset and offended at the way his thoughts were consolidated pertaining to the Deerfield Park program. Yes, we did have a horrible assault that happened in the town of Deerfield, taking place on an evening during a Whitestown girls softball game. And I do agree with him that all municipalities do need to enlighten the public on their on safety issues. I have no issue with that. However, to partner that statement in the same paragraph and the same breath as the Deerfield Youth Program Summer Park Program is very deceiving and confusing to the public. And it could be construed that this happened while the program was in progress. I am not sure why, when something works so well, that it must be questioned and put under scrutiny. I have run the program for over 25 years. I have followed the county regulations. I bring in professionals such as police and fire companies, and I hold clinics on bullying. The program exists because of the change in society over the years. With families who need two incomes to survive, many of these children would be left at home, such as latchkey kids, or with little or no supervision at all. Deerfield's youth program provides her residents with the opportunity to allow their children to play with friends outside, do arts and crafts, and stay physically and mentally active. Deerfield's park program provides counselors to supervise and assist children in their everyday playtime. Our counselors are 16 years old to 20, and I have two teachers who act as youth leaders. Both of them are current teachers and who have passed such vetting in the school districts that they are employed in. As the county recommends. As far as hiring counselors is concerned, it has always been my position to choose and recommend for appointment by the board for their hiring. I have them complete the county application. I hold an interview with each one. I explain what is expected of the counselor, how to supervise, protect, and interact with the children. As director of the program, and with 25 years experience, I believe at this point, I am the best to judge the qualifications of the candidate. Now, this is said because Mr. Fusco felt that the board should vet them. I did 25 years of daycare. I've held this program for 25 years. I can't say that Sam has the experience, that Daphne has that experience, that Phil has it, Dave, or even Mr. Fusco. Although you may have it in a few areas, and I would be very appreciative to get some feedback. But I honestly, I know what the program needs, I know how it's been run. And to this day, I've never had any child seriously hurt, seriously assaulted, or lost, or stolen. I am open to the conversations of possible improvements and new ideas. However, it does not need to be held during a board meeting to impress an audience. Just come to my office.
Excuse me.
Order.
Order. She's giving her report.
I'm not going to sit here.
Let her get it off her chest.
Because you know what?
It's okay.
All my husband was trying to do was point out a situation and say the future, things have changed. Just be aware of this as part of your program and maybe, you know, make sure that these people have the proper training. So if a situation like this came up, I sit here every meeting, and all you do is everything that he does.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. You can speak at late privilege in a forum. I
am not going to sit here while you deface and defamate and speak against my husband.
Okay.
Well,
have fun.
Whatever.
It's okay.
Go ahead, Kat.
Okay. I am open to conversations and possible improvements. And if Dan or anybody on this board or even in our audience wants to come and they have a special program or any special knowledge, I'm open to that. But if you read our minutes, the paragraph that I asked you to separate, the paragraph that talks about that horrible assault is also tied in with a comma into everything that the youth program stands for. And that's where I take offense. No mention in here was it that it was a Whitesboro softball meet.
Right.
Had nothing to do with the town of Deerfield. That's where I can't take, after all of the years that we've done a successful program, I can't take any inclinations, any small assumptions that happened during my watch, during the watch of those kids that are giving up their summer to work, or to the two youth leaders that are there supervising. So, you might even find that the program is a positive example from other programs in the area. I have parents from Marcy, I have parents from New Hartford, I have parents from all over the place that wish that they could take and have a program like what we have. Marcy, you got to pay to be in their program, and they have a limit. So what happens to the taxpayer whose child didn't get signed up in time? Now they sit in their home, or they're left to run random. So that's my say on the youth program. Now, the town clerk has also started a dog enumeration project. It has begun, and the flyers, if they haven't already gone out, they should be going out shortly. This helps the town of Deerfield, because not only is the dog enumeration and licensing a New York State law, but it also assists in locating the owners of getaway dogs. Somebody accidentally leaves the door open, dog runs free. If we catch that dog for the owner, if that dog does not have a tag, that dog is taken to the Stephen Swans Humane Society. Stephen Swans charges the town $1,020 per dog. So if we catch two dogs and neither of them have tags on them, we cannot find the owner, we're already into it for almost $2,000.
A lot of places won't give you your dog back either unless you do have them licensed and can prove that
right.
Your dog is licensed.
Yes.
So it is very good for an owner to do anyways.
So we may not make...
In a what-if scenario, I'd rather be able to get my dog back.
The town may not make much on their $12 licenses, but they certainly will save money on the catching of the dogs. And just for the board, the IT department has enlightened me that many of our current computers in the building are unable to download Microsoft 11. We should begin to consider replacements of the computers. At this time, for what is needed, right now it stands that my tax computer is probably the only one that will be hit hard in the very beginning. Then going forward, there is my computer, the town clerk's computer, the building inspector's, the assessor's, and senior's computer. Do you want me to continue to the youth program?
Greg
usually does. All right. After our successful 6-week park program is coming to an end this summer with 1 week left. I want to thank the staff for the long, hot days with an average of 70-plus kids, children aging 5 to 13 years old, keeping them safe, entertained, and occupied. This team has been wonderful and are very appreciated by the parents and the youth that attend. We have visited the movie theater, the Boonville Fair, the Children's Museum, the Energy Zone. We have done tie-dye, a color run, and we have taken hikes on the Wilderness Trail. We've played kickball, volleyball, basketball, and played on the playground equipment. We have had clinics with the New York State Police Canine Unit. We've had USA Karate Anti-Bullying Clinic. And we've competed in the Boonville Fair Art Contest, in which one of our youth took first place. We did plenty of arts and crafts and learned how to play board games fairly. And I just want to say, can you imagine if this program didn't exist? And that's it.
Next is Highway Superintendent Sam Arcuri, Jr.
Yeah, I had a few things. Auditor's Green Waste is complete. I haven't heard any complaints out there that we missed anything, but we're done for August with that. Still nothing new on the salt contract for 25-26. I'm expecting to hear anything right now, anytime now, New York State. We'll see what happens. I'm in the process. I know I gave the board members a month or two ago my 284 agreement. That's a paperwork that can be amended at any time with board approval. I'm in the process of amending that right now. And you heard Phil talk about possibly a resolution next month. Some of the projects, I scaled back on some and I added a couple more smaller ones. Initially, we're about $11,000, almost $12,000 short. We were going to add the Hedgewood project into that at $61,500. There's some guardrail work I want to do for $10,700. Coombs Road chip seal, which we're all ready to go. That's about an $8,000 bill. And we're working on that edge of town, so I was going to Davis Road West. And if anybody knows where Davis Road West is, it's right off Fitterbrook Road. It's in pretty rough shape. We're going to do a $24,000 repair on that. And so we're looking at reserve funds, if the board approves it, at $116,000 additional money. So that I'll be give the board all new updated 284 agreements for next month. I'm still waiting to hear back from the paving people for Pauline Ave and the fencing people. I reached out to the fencing people again today. Actually, I'm supposed to possibly, he didn't know for sure, he's going to call me, possibly meet with him sometime tomorrow, depending on his schedule. Brayton Road's all set to be paved. We're jockeying for paving dates right now. Everybody's in the same boat, so. We're working on Quickerbrook Road as we speak, probably for another week over there. Then we're going to be moving down to Pauline Ave. We got probably the best part of 3 or 4 weeks down there on Pauline Ave. Get that right. again, doing some driveway culvert replacements. That's about all I got right now.
Thank you, Sid.
Have you heard anything on salt contracts?
That's what I just said.
I heard that.
Sorry. Yeah, they got nothing new on salt right now.
Were you not paid attention?
A lot of information.
So as I expect to hear anything.
Okay, thank you, Sam. Billing and Codes, James Maxwell, his report's on the desk. I'm going to skip over Patty right now to go through the rest, because if there's any questions from the floor, it'll all be at the same time. Laura Ramo, Zoning Board Chair. Nope,
not him.
Historian John Fauci, absent. Senior Director, absent. Karen Didhers. Deborah Burke, Parks Committee. Yes, ma'am.
I'm here.
Okay.
So, the grant for Breezy Park, we received on a Tuesday afternoon by the time I saw it. We had until Thursday to fill it out.
And you got it then.
We ended up being me. Spent 6 hours putting it together. I had none of the information required, which was financing on how the town would finance because it's a state grant. They grant you the money, but you have to upfront it, and then they pay it back and all that kind of stuff. So I put a lot of TBDs, just received this grant yesterday kind of thing. So I'll follow up again with the lady because it's through New York State. It's a CFA grant and see what she says, but I'm not holding my breath. So I did talk to Dan, called me, I met with John, I came up and met with John afterwards to talk about the park trail system. A lot of the things we discussed were in the previous Parks Committee report from a couple of years ago, so I think I told you that there's only myself and Stephanie Montescalchi on the Parks Committee right now. The other people told me they didn't like to meet, they just like to do physical stuff, so the Parks Committee kind of helped. So I've had a couple of people volunteer, going to get that committee restarted, come up with some ideas, and then I'd like to have a sit down with Sam of what's reality, what's not, what we possibly could do, and then actually put it together so we can put it in the budget for next year and actually, you know, have a project to talk about some of the things that we need to do. And I understand parks because I'm on the board at Homestead City. We've been cleaning up Proctor Park for a long time, and just municipalities don't have money for parks. So there's some things that we could coordinate with Sam and his guys and the volunteers. Over at Proctor Park, we've had between 10 and 70 volunteers show up for work days. So it is possible to get some town residents, and there have been a few residents that have said they'd be interested in helping out with things like, you know, limb cleanup or, you know, stuff like that. I don't really need to get into right now. The softball field, I've been a little busy. I haven't moved forward with that. I did have, yeah, I'm sorry, I can't remember the gentleman's name that gave me a quote for the price to build the dugouts. I just have to get with him. He couldn't send it to me. He had a computer issue. But I'll get that into WADIS. WADIS is year round, it's not just summer. So I'll get that in, and I think that's it for parks right now. Karen did contact me about a piece of equipment, and I went and looked, and I couldn't find what you were saying. Somebody called, needed a spring or something.
Yeah, that was the same thing I told you.
Yeah.
And you didn't find it either.
I couldn't find anything other than there were stones in it.
Maybe
there's stones down in between.
Maybe them. That was it. I'm yeah.
Other than that, I couldn't find anything.
You need to talk to Hunter or Jesse about that because I don't know exactly what it is. But I know when they go this way, it makes a lot of noise. And
well, that could be the stones, though.
Yeah.
Like you're saying.
Yeah, kids tend to throw the stones on everything.
Yeah.
Which, well, I have done it by myself that day. I'm gonna take somebody down with me.
The stones come.
I didn't see anything. I was up underneath it. I didn't see anything broken or coming apart or bolts off or.
Yeah, the stones.
I didn't either. I looked.
Yeah.
The stones.
Thank you.
The playground on top and the kids.
Well, I don't want something that get too many get hurt, so I went out.
Right. Just so you can hear what they're hearing. Yes.
And the mole guy did blow the leaves.
Okay.
Off the court.
Okay.
He was supposed to. Cords, huh?
He was supposed to.
I had my backpack floor all ready to go. So.
All set?
Because the trees, it's been so dry, the trees all over the place are dropping their leaves. They're not even going to change color.
Yeah.
So.
All set then?
That's all I got.
Thank you very much. Do you remember that EIN number I gave you? You're not supposed to.
Oh, yeah.
No. I'll give you a couple. 15
no,
dash.
I
started
the
that's
one that she
it.
Gave me on paper.
Thank you. The last official report before Mr. Schmidt is Planning Board Chairman Patty Goldsmith is going to give an update on where we are with the Pathstone project and what's to come. So go ahead, Patty. Thank you.
Okay, so we had a busy meeting on the 6th. The first thing the board did was we reviewed Article 16 of zoning, went through a checklist, a laundry list basically, of what was needed to complete the plans, and if those that would establish the planning board as the lead agency for this project in the secret process. Board members read through the resolution, they were satisfied with it as written. So there was a motion to accept the resolution, and that was carried unanimously. The criteria for the designation of the secret action type was reviewed. There's three types, type one, type two, and unlisted. After discussion with the board members, their unanimous opinion was this was an unlisted action. So that moving forward, any of the paperwork, that's how that will be identified as an unlisted action. Then we moved on to the short environmental assessment form, part one. That was completed with SWDR engineering. We reviewed their answers. They were complete to our satisfaction. And then we moved on to parts two and three of the short environmental assessment form. Preliminary indications are that this is not going to result in any significant adverse environmental impact. And of course, then those all these findings, all our plans, and the plans that Gaston has submitted through their engineering company will now go on to, I think we have at this point, eight agencies that are going to be contacted for their...
Eight professional agencies.
Well, let's see, we've got DEC, New York State DOT, City of Utica, Town of Mercy, Mohawk Valley Water Authority, Medina County Planning, Medina County Soil and Water, the Whitesboro Central School District, and the United County Department of Public Works. Public Works in Oneida County are probably just going to send them the traffic studies. I don't think they really probably want to see, because this is not we have the access agreement for the road, which feeds into Mullaney Road. I don't think they're going to want to see all the plans for the entire project. I'm sure they're not concerned about private parking, private access. And those are interesting. They will get back to us. There's a set time frame. That will probably happen, we're hoping, before the September meeting that we have most of these comments back. If not, we may have to ask for a bit of an extension in order to meet our time frames. And then after that feedback comes in, we want to get as much of that back in as we can before we schedule the public hearing for this. So I'm assuming that is going to be probably sometime mid to late September for the public hearing. And that's just about where we're at with that.
Thank you very much. Okay.
I have a question for the planning board. We have a letter in front of us from Abundant Solar dated August 1st for a proposal.
It was just in my mailbox today.
I got that today.
I will address it.
It was addressed to the town park.
Yep.
The town park?
Yep, if you read the letter, the heading on the letter, it said Dear Town Park.
Yeah.
So, but I will reach out to them tomorrow.
We're not entertaining this in any way, shape, or form. Are we having a board
vote? The first thing I have to do is identify the tax parcel.
Right.
From the way the letter is worded, and last year I did have a contact, believe it or not, they want to put solar on the town park. And I told them it's a wilderness park, it's probably not if you want to fit there. So I don't know if this is a follow-up from that initial contact last year, but the first thing I will do is identify through the tax parcel ID number exactly where that is, and then I will reach out to them tomorrow. And find out what they're
doing. All set, Mr. Fuska.
All set. Patty, I looked up the tax ID that's on there, and it is the town park.
It is the town
park. I looked at it right before the meeting. It is that right there. It is,
perfect.
Yeah.
All right, well, even trying to, it's crazy that they would reach out to us about even considering that, because it takes a massive amount of paperwork and resolutions to even consider doing anything on town park land, as we found out with Schuyler when the Borelix project approached Schuyler about their town park. So
you have to get approval of the state legislature before you can put anything on a park.
Thank you, Patty. Okay, late privilege of the floor. If anybody would like to speak.
Hi.
Hi, just state your name. And
Kathleen Fusco, Northern Walker Road.
Yes, ma'am.
And I would just like to start a conversation, oddly, about mowing. Mowing was the topic tonight. I'm extremely passionate about monarch butterflies and we've all known that they have declined drastically since we were children. There's very few of them anymore. It's almost like an event to see them. And part of the problem is the mowing of the milkweed on the sides of the roads. What I would like to do is start a conversation with the highway department to see if we can coordinate migration with mowing, because, no offense, you just mowed at like the worst possible time. People don't know this, but they come up the first and second week in July, and they're in full mating season. And they only will lay eggs on milkweed. The larva will only germinate and grow on the milkweed till they're ready to become chrysalises, and then they, you know, set, and then they become butterflies. So what I would love to do, I'm so passionate about this, is I would love to start the conversation what we can do better next year. I walked the ditches, that was me. I walked the ditches as much as I could throughout a lot of Deerfield, and I was able to save, I call it Operation Roadside Rescue, I was able to save 50 eggs, larva, and I am releasing daily butterflies. So they're pollinators, they're beautiful, they make life better. And I just hope that we can start a conversation with the highway department, and I will work with you to see when you're mowing, to maybe if we can mow in late June. I understand you've got a big area, I get it, but if we can do so much better, and that's what I'm asking to entertain. The other thing we can do is become a waste station. There's actually a national organization where you become a butterfly waste station, and it would be a beautiful park where you, just a little area, you could do it here to here. You just have to have certain types of milkweed, certain types of like coneflower, things that they will eat, the older ones will take nectar from. And wouldn't that be beautiful for Deerfield? We are a registered national waste station for monarch butterflies. Let's do better. Why not be extraordinary? So I would love to work with you, I guess, next year.
I don't have a problem doing that, but there are certain regulations I have to follow too.
Understood.
You know, yeah, there's a lot of county roads that I mow. They're very specific on times of the year that they want those mowed.
Okay. The other thing we can do is, I get a phone call, I send my posse out. I get a phone call, we're mowing such and such road on Tuesday. Okay, I'll send my people out. I've got people that want to help me, and we'll go pick every...
I don't have a problem with that whatsoever.
We pick every milkweed. We look for larvae, they're tiny, and I'm training people to do this, so we could be extraordinary. I'm sorry.
I give my daughter your name.
Yeah, absolutely.
She plants milkweed in her backyard.
Absolutely. But we can do something remarkable. Why not? I mean, why not?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And if anyone wants to help me, you're going to get all bit up and scraped up. But it's worth it. It's so worth it.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you
for your time. Anyone else like to speak? Yes, sir.
No, son. My question is, what is going on with the property at the corner of Prescott and Cosby Manor Road? I've been dealing with you for 2 years over this, and all I ever hear is we're sending letters. I'll talk to Sam about someone mowing. That grass is this high. It's absolutely disgusting. The fence is falling down. There's a pool that's got green water in there, and nobody's doing anything about it. And I know that I talked to you. It went to auction. You said it sold. Told my neighbor that it sold. Who bought it? Did the bank buy it back? Because when I talked to the lawyer, he said they get the first bid on it, and they're going to bid $147 what he owed on it. If they own it, make them come mow it, or have the town mow it, and send them a bill, because this is going on 3 years. It's ridiculous.
Mr. Sutton, I know that you said in the last 2 years, and I did get something done.
Once. Yes, you got it mowed once last year, and I've been talking to you since the beginning of this summer, what's going to happen, and I'm working on it.
Mr.
And I'm not blaming it on you. But we put in that law that they have to have the lawn mowed, and nobody does anything.
We identified the bank, Mr. Maxwell and myself. It wasn't easy. That's one of the problems today, is the banks aren't
helping. It wasn't hard, because I told you what it was when I saw you.
They said they were going
to. I got all that information and gave it to you.
The bank said they were going to take care of it. The fence, the pool, the yard.
Yes, in June. I've called them myself, and they're putting it out for bid. It's August now.
Then it was supposed to be auctioned on July 16th.
When does the town do something about it?
Well, about the only thing we can do is mow it.
There you go, let's mow it.
We can't go in and knock fences down and pools. That's private property.
I understand that, but you could mow it. I've been asking to have it mowed since the beginning of the summer. I asked you last year. You did get a guy that he mowed the front yard, never went inside the fence and mowed it.
Well, I have to talk to see him. We'll have to, you know, it's such a hard process, even to get a hold of the previous home landowner.
Sam, what's the logistics about the town just stepping in and mowing?
I go inside. I'm on my own. I can't go do anything.
You can't do it. It's got to be a letter. So many days go by, and it goes on their tax bill if they don't pay.
So they get a letter notifying.
And I was talking to you at the beginning of the year.
I don't do anything until
June. You said
the town board.
Okay. Listen.
Tells me that everything's ready to go. We can go in there. I don't make those decisions. You guys make those.
So what do we do tonight to make sure we're going in that direction?
Well, Mr. Maxwell has to get a hold of the property owner, which is very difficult.
Okay.
And then when he does, they get so long to comply.
Okay.
And if the person doesn't comply, then the highway department can mow.
Okay.
And then if the bill isn't paid, it goes on the county tax bill.
Okay.
And chances are when the bill isn't paid, the county has to make the town whole.
Okay.
It's
time we go in that direction. I'll call Mr. Maxwell, and we'll get that ball rolling in that direction. It's gone on long enough.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Yes, sir.
Ron Bistock, 257 Randwood Drive. It seems like with Passstone, all the studies have been done by their group. Has the town done any studies in regards to what the effects it might have on our volunteer fire department, our police department, not the lack of our police department, there's a sheriff and a state trooper that encompasses quite a vast area. If they're tied up at this housing development, what about the rest of the people in the town? How will that affect us? You know, you say you're going to call in other volunteer fire departments, the police department are going to respond. Have you talked to any other housing facilities to see what their problems are? I don't think you have, and I think you should. Mm-hmm. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just Ken Roche.
Yes, sir.
You know, one of the details I've noticed within the plan for this housing is that people that are going to have these units, we're budgeting 60% of the medium income are the people who qualify for these units. That means that the average medium income in our area is $50,000. That means that these are people who make 30 or less. You have to take into consideration the impact of the quality of life of neighbors living around this new facility when you're bringing in qualitatively a certain level of clientele, no matter whether you like to describe it that way or not. And those are facts and truths that have to be out in the open here. We can have a planning board that blindly follows and says whatever they want to say, but if the planning board can dispute the fact that the people that will be coming into those units earn 60% of the average medium income, then you realize what you're talking about is people who are basically very poor, barely can get by, and in terms of the people that immediately impacts, property values around them, services around them, all kinds of things, those are the kinds of things that I think are borne out when they say get another study that is objective, not just what a planner wants to have, or for that matter, a planning committee that just goes along with it. The data is the data. And if you know that you're talking about people moving into these places that make $30,000 or less, you already know that there's going to be an inherent increase need for resources like police, like fire, like schools. It's just natural. And if you do any kind of a study outside of a self-serving study by our own developer, then you realize those are the knee-jerk reactions that happen in these projects. And so to be fair to residents, and quite frankly, my company does things like the Stop the Bus campaigns. We try to get toys for kids all Christmas, and so I understand and can appreciate helping people very much. But you owe it to the neighbors around this facility, you owe it to the entire town, and you owe it to the town that says, you know what, I would like to be looked at like New Hartford likes to look at themselves, like Marcy likes to look at themselves. Projects that go in to enhance the area around it. Not a project that goes in that at best stays flat line until such time that it starts to go backwards. And then we have an anchor that we carry. So I think what people just want and expect, and I will say this,
not because of my political affiliation, but I will tell you that I stood in front of the paving plant that was supposed to be coming North Utica years ago. And I tried to have elected officials like yourself explain to me, how do you build all these hotels in North Utica and then turn around from a smelly paving plant right next to the river and the canal? It doesn't make sense. Planning board was all for it. Why? Because we might be able to help our city roads. Didn't make any difference. We drive every tourist out of North Utica because of the smell of it. And we were told that it didn't smell either until we took video of it and you could see that there was smoke and smell. I guess what I'm saying to you is that there's nothing wrong with trying to help people who don't have a place to live, and I'm good with that. But have a balanced approach to the community when you say, this is what we are trying to sell you or convince you is good for you. And right now, the data that I've seen, and I'm a businessman, the data I've seen says that this is a good project, but it is a low-income housing subsidy project, and that's the truth of it. Doesn't mean it's bad people, doesn't mean it's a bad project. But be upfront and fair with the people that are around this project, because it will have an impact on their value of their homes. And if you want to be fair with everyone, fair is all people are asking. Because if you're not fair, you're going to end up in the next round or close to it, maybe the next one after that, voted out. Because that's what happened to the paving plant people. Those committee people in the City of Utica Common Council got voted out. And the fact is, I think people just want to have honest assessment of this project. If it's good, let's do it. But if it's not good, then let's not hide these facts. Let's not superficially try to cover them up by saying we're doing something so good that we bypass what's going to net happen in the end. Because we owe it to all of us to be fair with us. And so I would ask again, I think this gentleman, and we don't know each other really, but I think his suggestion, I didn't even know he was going to say it, but I think it's legitimate for any project, even a private development project like I've done on Canal Park. You get your own study also. You don't just rely on a developer to give your one-sided look at the thing. That's just good business. And even though we're a municipality, we still owe it to our community and our taxpayers to do good business. Let's get our own study to take at least a look at it. And if it runs parallel with this, then how do you stand in front of it? You do it. But I think when you get another study, you'll have at least a choice to make. Is the net effect going to be the same with both projects, or do we want to hold up and maybe think twice before we go ahead down this other road and see a project that someone describes to us can have a really net positive impact to our town? We owe it to our community to at least examine that option, don't we? I'm done, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Okay, well, we're just gonna, Mr. Schmidt, do you have anything to add?
Nope.
Okay,
I would like to ask for the opportunity just to apologize to Karen.
You guys want to handle that privately?
No. I want to say it publicly. Because I'm apologizing for getting you so upset. You did call me, and I did appreciate that, and we did redraft it. And I didn't articulate myself correctly. I could have done better in not mentioning the youth program. I would never want to hurt the youth program.
And that's all I asked for.
Right. So I apologize for getting you so upset. However, my position in doing that was that the town must accept responsibility and not blame it on Weisbrook, not blame it on the parents, not blame it, but it happened in our house. So anything, it is such an egregious violation, yes, such a crime, and some people never recover.
Yes.
And I've worked in recovery for this, that we just got to do whatever we have to do to make sure and if it doesn't happen.
And even in our phone call, I did agree with you. Yes. I just asked that you put it in a different bullet point, yes, so that it wasn't tied.
And you accepted our revision, so was that still to your satisfaction?
No, because all you did was take the word youth out.
Yeah.
So no, it didn't.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to get you so upset.
Thank you
for expressing yourself.
Yeah. Okay. Meeting's over except for bills. Somebody like to entertain a motion on the highway bills? Voucher 138 to 160, excuse me,
139.
No, 157. 139 to 157 highway.
I'll make that motion.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried.
General, sorry about that. General 246. General 246 to
278.
278.
I motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Sewer District
seven.
Voucher number seven?
I'll make that motion.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Motion to adjourn?
A motion.
I'll second.
Uh-oh, that's twice you haven't been able to do it.
She does it. Thank you, people, for coming. Have a good evening.